Good for today is Van Hassel versus Van Hassel. Mr. Powers?
Good morning, Judge.
Morning, how are you? All right, counsel, you have 15 minutes.
Thank you, Judge.
Let me ask you first before you start, did you sign in by
chance? I did, Judge.
Great, okay.
Can I ask a, I'm referring to section C and D of your brief. Where did the trial court make any finding as to a gift?
By finding that the property belonged or was the terminology the court used was that this personal property had been divested to his children. I mean, that was the only way it would have been the property of the children was if it was gifted by Mr. Van Hassel to
the children.
No, what the
trial court specifically said, did it not? I'm not dealing with the gift question. Didn't he?
It did say that, but it did deal with the gift question. The only way
No, he didn't. All he said was, husband doesn't have any possessory interest in the property in wife's possession.
And the only way the court could make that determination is making a determination that there was a gift of this property from Mr. Van Hassel. Everyone conceded and the judge conceded or acknowledged.
Why do you maintain that the trial court found a gift when the trial court specifically says, I do not?
It did not. Said that specifically, but in all intents, that's exactly what it did. It may have said, I'm not saying that this is a gift because the children aren't here.
But a gift is an affirmative finding that the court has to make. And I think to follow up on what Judge Haley is saying, how are we to even look at that question of a gift and whether that was proper or improper in the statute if there's no explicit finding by the trial court that there was a gift?
One of the findings of the court has always consistently been that this was Mr. Van Hassel's separate property. And the only way to get it out of being his separate property to which he is entitled or for that finding to retain, et cetera.
What do you mean the only way? What about your client's email? I don't have anything.
That's the gift. That's how we're trying to take it. Backing up to what's before the court is the property of the parties. That's what the court's authority is.
But they were charged by the remand from the Court of Appeals to specifically find whether it was in fact either separate property, joint property, whose property this was, whether he had specifically divested himself of that. The trial court goes through the pains of reading that portion of the Court of Appeals opinion.
Correct.
And then specifically makes a finding that Mr. Van Hassel has divested himself without stating further. So how do we get to where you're saying there's a gift, circling back again to what Judge Haley has asked?
Maybe I'm misunderstanding the question or misunderstanding. Maybe I'm misunderstanding Judge Iden's original ruling. But in order to get this out of the being separate property, which again, this court remanded it for that. Judge Iden acknowledged that this was separate property we're talking about, which is the limit of the court's authority to talk about that. In order to get it out of that, to no longer be either marital property, separate property, or hybrid property, which is the only three things the court can do, it had to have determined it was not one of those and had to have gone from Mr. Van Hassel's separate property elsewhere.
But that's a separate step. I guess the point I'm getting to is, yes, that would be a separate step to determine where it goes. Is it joint property? How is it to be dispersed? But the court, I guess what I'm saying is it seems like the court stopped short of doing anything other than making the pronouncement that Mr. Van Hassel has divested himself of the property.
The only way the court could say it had divested him of that property, divested himself of that property, was if he had taken some affirmative steps and the court determined that you have made a gift of this property to
your
children.
Well, again, what about his October 9 email?
The argument I'm making with that, with respect to that, Judge, is that's a contract. And if you look at that October 2011 email with 10 paragraphs to it, and those specific paragraphs go through, and it's sloppy, it's not very well written, but it doesn't have the specificity of a contract. A gift is a contract without consideration, but it's still a contract. And if we need to interpret what a contract means, you'll need to look at the actual contract. In the contract, the first four paragraphs talks about boxes of photographs and silver, and the documents are the items that we're talking about here, portraits, and there's in the record, there's paintings, large pieces of property, things that would not fit in boxes.
Counsel, let me just direct your attention to Appendix 158, which is where the court makes its finding. The court is not tasked with having other parties before it, especially the boys, that is William and Christian.
Yes.
The court is not tasked with determining to whom these individual items belong. The court's been instructed that it cannot find that they belong to Mrs. Von Hassel under the evidence, and the court agrees. The court understands that and does not make that as its finding. How are we to read that as anything other than just the divestment and nothing to do with the gift or where the property is directed?
The reference there is it's reaffirming that this is not Mrs. Von Hassel property.
What about the line about it does not make any findings as to whether it belongs to William or Christian?
But the only person left would be husband, Mr. Von Hassel, and the separate property. And the court's only authority is to determine the property as between these two parties.
And the court made that finding.
But it says
it's all the wife's because the husband divested himself of it. Uh-huh. Are you saying there's no evidence to support that finding?
It does not belong to the wife. The court did not say that it belonged to the wife. It just said that, I think it says here, understands it does not make its finding that they cannot find that they belong to Mrs. Von Hassel. And I affirm that it does not belong to Mrs. Von Hassel. Then the court goes on to say he's divested himself of these individual items as indicated, referring back to the children.
Counsel, your argument is essentially that there was another step that the court could have made and probably should have made in reference to then to whom the property belongs and then where it's what's to occur with it. And I guess the point is it doesn't sound like just from what the court, regardless of whether it should have or shouldn't, from the court's finding that it reads in here, it doesn't seem like the court makes any further finding other than the divestiture of Mr. Von Hassel.
But the divestiture of Mr. Von Hassel and all the evidence in the entire case is predicated upon this email and the allegation that he had gifted all his property, and that he had done a complete and total divestiture of anything he ever owned. This is his separate property. Now, the court, going back to my initial argument, is the court's only authority is classify, determine what the property is, what the estate is, and classify it between the parties.
And but there's no error made that you've not are stated in terms of a lack of classification or the court erred in its classification.
No, it did classify it as his separate property. But then going on to the next step of saying it divested himself of it, and the only evidence and the only thing before the court related to divestiture was this allegation that this email gave all his property to his children.
Well, don't you think the trial court was constrained by the scope of its remand from this court?
Yes, and the only issue before the court was whether this separate property, what to do with it. And what to do with it is it's Mr. Von Hassel's separate property. Taking that additional step and saying that this was a gift to other parties.
And where does, again, not to belabor the point, where is it specifically found by the court that it is a gift? Because in order for it to be an error that we can actually address, the court has to say it somewhere.
Judge, leading up to the court's final rulings, the court took pains to actually read this email and said, and this is 155, 56, 57, court wishes to reread this in its entirety into the record. And that's exactly why I put the entire email in my brief. This thing was central to all the determinations the court made. And the court's determination was that this email is central to the finding that they're going to ultimately make. And that's where the court exceeded its authority.
But that email that you're talking about talks about the fact that basically I don't care, these things no longer belong to me, they belong to the boys. Couldn't the court have taken portions of that email and just determined that there was the divestiture without finding the gift? I'm not saying whether it should have or whether there was an extra step. I'm simply saying what we have before us in terms of the record, in terms of the court actually enunciates from the bench.
Well, the court, you were correct. The court did not reiterate the word gift, use the word divestiture, but the only way it would get from Mr. Von Hassel is if he had transferred it from Mr. Von Hassel. The court's initial finding was that this is a separate property. Everyone acknowledged that. Now, what happened to it? What do we do with it at that point? That's where the court exceeded the authority and went on to the next step and said, well, this email gives me the proof that he has now given it away. It no longer exists as his separate property. And if the only thing the court can do is determine, is it marital or separate property? And if the court makes that determination, but then goes on to say, well, it's separate property, you've done something else with it, is I think, one, exceeded the authority, and two, not supported by this contract. Now, with respect to this email, one of the arguments I've laid forth is if you're going to interpret a contract, and the court clearly did that by reading it, laying it out specifically in the rulings before it issued its final ruling, you have to interpret the contract, and this court has to interpret the contract. And whether or not this is a complete divestiture of everything this gentleman owned is the question. And it's impossible, I think, to read this email to say that this says everything I own, I no longer have. I'm going to divest myself of everything. And what the court also did in analyzing this.
Well, the emails were only dealing with personal property, were they not?
And that's all we're talking about is personal property.
Yeah, I know that's what we're talking about here. But his statement, I divested myself, only dealt with personal property, correct?
And that's the only issue we're concerned about, is his personal property and everything that he had accumulated over a lifetime. It's these items. Now, what the court did before it made its final ruling in interpreting the email is in the bottom page 156, top of 157, it said, I'm going to read this, and there's two ways I can do it. One is it's only talking about the specific items that are listed in the email, and that would be in the first few paragraphs talking about these items, photographed silver, that are in these packed boxes. Or I'm going to do a broad, I could do a broad interpretation of this, and the bottom line is I do not own anything, et cetera. And that's obviously what the court did, is said I can do one of two things. I'm going to interpret the contract, which it was supposed to do, but I think he made the error in interpreting the contract, and I ask when you look at the contract, you can make this, you have to interpret it also, because on appeal, the court can do a de novo review of what the meaning of the contract is. And if you look at the words that are used, the specific words, talking about these specific items that are in these specific boxes, and there's photographs of the boxes that are before the court, versus the items that we're talking about, these portraits of Frederick the Great, these large items, these pieces of property, personal property, were these in those boxes? You can make a reasonable argument that those photographs and silver that were in those boxes, he had divested himself of because he had taken that step. But then taking it and saying, I've divested myself of everything under the sun, is where I think the court made the error. With respect to divesting myself of everything under the sun, if you're interpreting the contract, when he talks about all silver, art, et cetera, go to my children, bottom line is I do not own anything, That is part of the email where he's talking about, one, his attorney formalizing this, which was never done.
I think it's October 9, I believe.
I'm sorry?
I think it's October 9.
Sometime in October.
I think that's right.
It's October 9, Judge. Yes. Yes, sir. I want my attorney to formalize this. You can still sell things. I have plenty more to do here. So this is part of this is one email, one part of an ongoing action of, yes, I want all my children to have this. Ultimately, I'll have my attorney formalize it. In one of the cases I cited, back from the 1940s, I believe, regardless of how much you like something, if you show some intent or you desire to do something, if the contract doesn't follow through with it, then you can't enforce that. You can't make the contract for the parties.
Could the boys sue their mother for these items?
I think they could. They could probably sue their father.
As third-party beneficiaries of the contract?
They probably could. I don't think... And they were not part of the divorce action, but I don't think they'd get anything other than what's in those boxes. So, Judge, unless we have any further questions, I'd ask that you review the contract and reverse the appeal, reverse the decision.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.